How can plants help us soak up carbon dioxide from the atmosphere? Just what is it that they're doing? Professor John Grace is an environmental biologist and a director of the Ultra Green Group.
Plants are made of carbon. 50% of the mass of a plant is carbon. So when a plant grows, it takes up carbon as carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. The process is photosynthesis, and it's been around for 4 billion years. So when you grow a forest, you capture carbon from the atmosphere. And that's a good thing because, of course, we're putting all this carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. It's causing global warming, and we're trying to bring out the carbon dioxide and put it into something that's relatively permanent.
Do some plants grab more carbon than others?
Yes, well, it's quite clear that plants grow at different rates, but the important thing about woody plants is that they don't just photosynthesis and respire, but they also store massive amounts of carbon in their trunks. So when you're looking for a way to capture carbon dioxide, you should be looking at plants that are woody because of the storage capacity.
When the plant dies, does all that carbon get released again then?
When the plant dies, some parts of the plant, such as the leaves and the twigs, of course they break down quite quickly in the soil, but the massive parts, the stems and the big roots, they decompose but over long periods, maybe 100 years or something of that order. So they're relatively stable, but not perfectly stable.
I often hear people say we can't plant our way out of trouble when it comes to climate change. Is that true?
You can't completely plant your way out of trouble, but you can make a contribution. So the power of photosynthesis is enormous. If you look at the whole planet, photosynthesis absorbs something like 120 billion tons of carbon every year. That's massive. You have to think that the fossil fuel emissions are about 7 billion tons of carbon. So photosynthesis itself is enormously powerful, but of course the biomass produced does break down. So if you're growing, say, a lettuce, well, it doesn't stay very long. It breaks down as soon as you eat the lettuce. It goes into carbon dioxide.
Without getting too graphic, what's going on there then with in terms of releasing the carbon dioxide?
Well, it goes into your body and some of the carbon, the easily digested parts, go in, make your body, make you. Some of it comes out in your feces. But this carbon ultimately becomes carbon dioxide. It's broken down outside your body by microbes and it's broken down inside your body by respiration, your own respiration.
Are there ways in which we can develop plants to capture and store more carbon than maybe they might do naturally?
What we can do is we can try to design ecosystems that are so designed that we can maximize all the opportunities. I mean, nature does this to a pretty good extent, but we might be able to improve. I mean, historically, what we do is we design crops to produce food and we optimize the use of land in that way. But the other approach would be to say, let's optimize the use of land so as to maximize how much carbon we can capture. And so far, we haven't done that.
Is capturing more carbon and producing decent yields of food, are those two things mutually exclusive?
They're not mutually exclusive. You can still produce food, but the way you manage the land might be a little different. If you're trying to maximize the carbon store, you might not produce quite so much food, but on the other hand, you might absorb quite substantially more carbon dioxide.
When you've got a situation where people are saying, well, you know, food prices are going up and the population's increasing and so on, is using food land and reducing yields of food the right way to go when it comes to tackling our carbon?
No, absolutely it isn't. So quite a lot of the plantations we see are ill-judged. What we have to do is to define all those parts of the world where there is degraded land. And this degraded land is of low economic value at the moment, but it could be a very great importance if we can use it for these ways of capturing carbon that involve woody plants.
And do these woody plants also put nutrients back into the soil? So in a sense, you get the degraded land to grow, this crop is going to absorb carbon, and then you also can use it later on for something maybe much more valuable in terms of food or something.
Well, quite a lot of woody plants are also nitrogen fixers. So they have a symbiotic relationship with microbes, and they can fix N2, nitrogen gas from the atmosphere, and turn it into protein. And ultimately, this goes into the soil and breaks down and enriches the soil. That's one aspect. The other aspect is that many of these plants have deep roots, and so they bring up nutrients from great depth and bring them to the surface.
That's Professor John Grace.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth, and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.